Happy Thanksgiving, and in celebration, we're gonna talk about Indigenous peoples and how they've been wronged in pop culture.
Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. or Thanksgiving week.
Yeah.
We're Pop and Circumstance, podcast that talks about pop culture related things,
mm-hmm.
movies, TV shows, books, anime,
manga,
comics,
music, plays,
musical,
and the sort. Yes. We previously had an episode about representation and like race,
mm-hmm.
in what's it called? You know, pop culture.
Yeah.
And because, Thanksgiving has a lot of weight behind it and a lot of history behind it, specifically in the U.S.
Yes.
We're going to focus a lot about how Indigenous peoples are represented in pop culture. And this does not, it's not just on United States, like tribes. We're going to talk about, you know, Canadian and Polynesian and whatever else we know.
We'll talk a big bulk about American culture,
mm-hmm.
But we will branch out to the other Indigenous folks as well,
mm-hmm.
because they also need to be represented.
Yeah.
And sometimes do, sometimes don't, sometimes mm-hmm. well, sometimes bad.
Mm-hmm. And we will discuss.
Yes.
That's why we're here, to discuss. Yes. And then, again, Victoria is not here today.
So John's here. Another episode where the white man is present.
I feel like this is intentional.
Putting you in a corner. Yeah. We gave him ice cream to make up for it. We're going to make him feel bad. So we gave him ice cream. This disclaimer, speaking of race, I am not, I mean, I have Native Hawaiian ancestry, but I would safely say that I do not experience the experiences that a lot of Native, specifically Native Hawaiian people do, but also just other Indigenous peoples.
Yeah.
I am white passing. I don't have those experiences. I will only go off of what my Indigenous friends have told me and their feelings, and also just kind of my research. That's where I'm coming from.
I was gonna say, for me, I don't know my bloodline very well, so I cannot tell you what is in there or not, but probably mm-hmm. based on what I look like, there's probably Indigenous in me.
And where your family's from.
And where my family's from, for sure.
Oh,
especially
yeah.
on my mom's side. My dad's side, probably colonizers. I'm gonna be honest, probably the Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
But my mom's side, probably like truly Indigenous people.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't speak too much about it because I don't know much about it.
Mm-hmm.
I can just tell you people are racist towards me because I'm brown.
But yeah.
That's But yeah, that's, we're not talking about like racism in this episode. We're just talking about representation for Indigenous folk.
Yeah.
And
which, I mean, includes some racist things. And we'll talk about why these things are racist and why it is harmful to these people.
Yes, for sure.
And essentially, that's just it.
Yeah. And then before we get into the bulk of this,
mm-hmm.
she's Eva.
I'm Eva. I keep forgetting to introduce ourselves. I'm Eva.
And I'm Emily. And then we already said that John's our guest producer for this episode. But John, you want to say who you are?
I'm John.
Between bites of his ice cream.
Yeah, I was like, he's having a hard time scarping down this Talenti ice cream.
Not a sponsor.
Yeah, I was like,
not a sponsor.
We're just, you know, hungry people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, let's go right into it. Eva is the, not the expert, but she's much more knowledgeable.
So my background is that I'm from Arizona. And as I grew up, when we had to learn about Arizona, you know how a lot of people, they learn their state history. Did you guys learn your state history? Was that a part of your curriculum?
Not really.
No? Okay.
I was like, does Florida have a lot of history? Besides St. Augustine? I don't think so.
Well, so
it's because you guys don't acknowledge anything else. That's why.
Well, yeah. I mean, so in Arizona, when we talk about Arizona history, at least in my district, we made a small point, not a big point, a small point to at least kind of acknowledge the different tribes, the main big tribes. There's a whole bunch that kind of reside in modern times in Arizona.
Yeah.
So, and also my grandpa was like super into like Native American. He was just in love with Arizona. And so he would always take me and my sisters to like little field trips to different historical places, specifically like Montezuma as well, or Montezuma's castle, and a bunch of all these ruins and stuff like that. And then when I got into college, I went to Northern Arizona University, and which is very close, very near to the Navajo reservation, the Diné people. And so I actually made a lot of friends who were Native American, specifically Navajo, but they were also mixed in a few things. And I'll talk about one of my friends later. Actually, I guess I could get into it. So my one of my old roommates from college, her boyfriend is an indigenous man. Let me look at my texts and see what tribe he's in, because he's not one of the big tribes.
Okay.
It's actually one of the little ones, or like the lesser known ones. Isleta. Isleta. I think that's what it's pronounced. Isleta. I know nothing about this thing. I just know him. And he's a very nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of talked to him briefly about, you know, in how I talked to him briefly about, you know, as a Native American man, what has he experienced and seen in pop culture specifically, and how does it make him feel, and what are good representations, what are bad. He wanted to make known that that indigenous people, specifically Native Americans, are like the invisible minority. Like
100%.
No one gives a shit about them. And it shows in a lot of the...
It shows in our history.
Yeah, it shows in the history, and it shows in our pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him, like, kind of... Because he's not really much of a reader. He mostly watches movies and stuff. And so he said that, you know, probably the worst offenders that he knows of right now, the worst offenders he knows of as in terms of representation are obviously, you know, the early, you know, 40s, 50s movies. John
Wayne.
Cowboy movies. Yeah, cowboy movies, John Wayne. Like, it's horrible. You know, they're just essentially your savages.
Mm-hmm.
Your Halloween costumes. That's essentially it. And then all I do is just violence and attack. That's pretty much the only thing you've seen Native American people do. Either that or, like, the magic shaman.
Mm-hmm.
Or the medicine man kind of thing.
Which I've never understood why it was just those two extremes. Well, they've also done that with, like, African Americans as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, it was, those were the only extremes.
Yeah.
Like, white people could be tons of different characters, but if you were a minority, mm-hmm. you were one or the other. You could not be anything else. You were either a savage or you were
a servant.
Or a mystical person.
Yeah.
There was nothing else. And I'm just like, bro, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
like pretty much making them non-human.
Yeah.
And, you know, and specifically Native Americans, I think it's also because they have been, you know, if you look at American history, you see all of this oppression.
Mm-hmm.
And it just literally just obliterates their culture, their language, their people. It's appalling, truly. And that's why. And then also, and another thing is that all these indigenous peoples were moved to these reservations, specifically when, like, they were moved to places that were geologically not profitable.
Yeah, for sure.
And so obviously these people were ran into poverty because they can't, you know, they can't do anything. They can't grow anything. They can't have their own economies. And even if they tried to, the government would just put a lot of, you know, taxes and bullshit on them and a bunch of laws. Specifically, I'm going to talk, and again, this is because this is where I lived for a while. The Navajo peoples, the Diné people, I'm going to call them Diné because that's their actual name.
Yeah.
The Diné people, they reside in a huge chunk. They're actually the biggest Navajo nation in the U.S. But it's kind of...
Wait, are there several Navajo?
No. Yes. Kind of. It's complicated. Again, I don't know the politics of tribes, because there's a lot of branches. That could be like a whole history episode.
Yeah.
But just the general Navajo reservation takes up a lot of the northern Arizona and the Four Corners, essentially. Got a huge chunk of that. And specifically the areas that are by the Grand Canyon, it sucks. And, like, northern Arizona, because that's where they did a lot of bombing tests and uranium mining.
Yeah.
And it, like, fucked up the land, and it poisoned the water. And so a lot of Native American, specifically Diné people, a lot of them don't have access to clean water. And also they can't get a lot of jobs, and the Grand Canyon. If you guys have Disney Plus, there is a documentary called, I think, Into the Grand Canyon. And,
Where is it? Into the Canyon.
Into the Canyon?
Well, no, because the first thing is Disney Plus and says Into the Grand Canyon.
Okay.
And then the, like, movie thing says Into the
Canyon. Oh, no, that's, like, the opening scene. It's like chapters. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's Into the Grand Canyon. And essentially these two white men, their goal is to hike from one end of the Grand Canyon Park along the ridge to the other end.
Which is a fucking hike.
Watching it, I got exhausted watching it. It's only for truly professional hikers.
Yeah, and one of them is not.
And so when you're watching this, you're kind of wondering, like, what's the whole point of this? And so the whole point of this documentary is that they're going through the Grand Canyon, A, to just appreciate the natural beauty of it.
Because one or both of them are, like, born native Arizonians.
Yeah, I think at least one of them is.
Yeah, so, like, they genuinely give a shit about their state. Mm-hmm. And they also give a shit about the native tribes of Arizona. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to give a voice to them.
Yeah.
Without doing the white savior thing, they were just like, here you speak about what's going, what are you dealing with?
Yeah.
With being attached to the Grand Canyon. Mm-hmm. What are the struggles of being so close to the Grand Canyon and this being a tourist spot?
Yeah, I think this documentary did really well in terms of, like, they were just kind of going, just visitors going through it without actually, like, harming the land around them. And along the way, they're interviewing the Diné people about a lot of the stuff that the Grand Canyon, specifically the Arizona government, or even the federal government, is trying to do near or in the Grand Canyon. Like, they want to have a tourist, I don't know, center that will allow you to easily go down to the bottom of the canyon. And that is pollution central.
Yeah, it, like, touches their, like, sacred water.
Literally, yeah, the Grand Canyon, that's where we get our water in California. Mm-hmm. Like,
because it's the Colorado River.
Yeah, and also specifically the Diné people, that's where they get their resources, essentially. Yeah. And then the government is essentially saying, oh, well, if we build this, we'll give you guys jobs. And first of all, these people don't want these jobs. And second of all, if they did want the jobs, you would not hire them.
For sure not.
Like, they won't hire them, really. And then there's a scene in the movie where they're a part of this really super quiet part of the canyon, and then all of a sudden they see, like, a helicopter, and then they get to a point where there's this helicopter pad, and it's just, I forgot what the rate was, but it was, like about, like, 400 helicopters coming in and out of this spot in the Grand Canyon a day, and a lot of the sound pollution was scaring away wildlife and ruining the ecosystem. And then they were also, like, outside, like, a few miles away, they're also building an oil thing. And luckily at the end of the movie, because the tribe actually has to vote on whether or not to have this oil thing in their reservation. Luckily, they voted not to have it. They voted against it. And that was a big success for them. But then fucking idiots were just like, we're going to try it again, but we're going to word it differently. So they have to do this thing all over again. I honestly don't remember. I don't know if that went through or not. I'm assuming not yet because I haven't heard of anything yet. But it's going to be a constant struggle for these people to be.
Like, you know, how big corporations and all of them, they will continue to pester until they get their way. Mm-hmm. And like we said, like your friend said, Native Americans are truly the invisible minority. No one pays attention to them. So a lot of their issues do get ignored. Mm-hmm. Like the pipe in
Little Rock? No. Sorry, I was thinking of Alabama.
I was like, no.
No. Shoot, what's it called?
What is that pipe called? John,
that Trump, remember all those Native American peoples were saying no to the pipe?
Oh,
shoot.
The Dakota Access Pipeline?
The Dakota Access Pipeline. Yeah. Like,
that, it took, not that it took the celebrities to bring attention to it, but it kind of did. It took big names to bring attention, because they had been protesting for so long for anybody to pay attention that, like, do not put this pipeline here. Mm-hmm. They still did, and it still spilled. Yep.
Exactly as they predicted.
Yeah, like, they literally told you not to do this because you're going to ruin their land.
Yeah.
And those fuckers. But, like, that's... they will not stop until they get what they want, and I'm just like, that's not fair, because our government, one, took the land. They took, this is not our land.
Yeah,
this is not our land. No, this has never been our land.
Yeah,
we've always been colonizers.
Yeah,
folks.
And I mean, it's the same fight over in Hawaii at Mauna Kea, because again, it's the same exact thing. These people wanted to build a giant telescope up there, and they're just like, first of all,
telescope.
Yeah, it was a giant telescope in like a research center.
Yeah.
And they're just like, first of all,
it's
the pollution, it ruins the aina, the land. It just, and then also, secondly, it's sacred. Mauna Kea is sacred.
Yeah.
It is where the gods live. You know, like, it's a place of worship. And, you know, and then these people are like, we're just going to build a little research center. It'll help everybody. And that's a lot of stuff that's going on in Hawaii right now, where a lot of these people are just like, oh, we just want to build, you know, science things. And then there's a huge conversation about whether or not wind turbines should be placed in Hawaii. Because a lot of people are like, allegedly, wind turbines are really good for, you know, energy, like, clean energy.
I don't know if that would work, though, in Hawaii, though.
You can go literally anywhere else. You can take it more in the California.
Yeah. Well, I was like, wouldn't solar panels do just fine in Hawaii rather than...
There's some cloud cover. It's not really consistent. But,
like, I was like, wouldn't that be better than your wind turbines, though? Because they would probably ruin your ecosystem in general.
Yeah, and then it looks ugly. First of all. And then also, that's also why Hawaii has a no billboard law.
Yeah.
Because it ruins the look of the island, essentially. Yeah. These islands are beautiful and we should keep them beautiful. And then these wind turbines don't look that great.
Yeah.
Amongst, you know, all this natural beauty. And so a lot of documentaries and a lot of celebrities I think this is good for celebrities. I think, you know, they should use their platform to talk about this. But it's really sad that we need them for people to actually give a shit. We shouldn't have to have celebrities or you know, important people, quote unquote, talking about this stuff for it to matter. These people saying, hey, this isn't fair, or hey, this isn't right, that should be enough. And it's...
Yeah, because I was like, the Dakota Pipeline, pretty sure it's the Dakota Pipeline, is the one where, like, Shailene Woodley got arrested, Mark Ruffalo was there all the time, like, those were the headlines. Mm-hmm. It wasn't necessarily the pipeline, the protests at the pipeline, it was the celebrity was there.
Yeah.
What happened. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like, that's why, like, yes, it's good that they at least brought the publicity, that you at least then go, okay, cool, what's this then?
Yeah.
But I'm still like, it shouldn't have to be that way. It we should just at least be able to be like, what is this problem?
Or if even, like, the elders being arrested, you know, all these people, like, actual Indigenous people, all of them being arrested, that should be the big headline. Yeah. You should be like, well, that's not cool.
Yeah, but
no one cares about the actual people.
The clicks on the internet.
Yeah, so that's, you know, that's kind of what in America is kind of going on. And I mean, and essentially kind of everywhere else, a lot of Indigenous peoples have always been trampled on. And it's not because they're not doing anything. They're literally doing everything.
Yeah.
They're doing all they can, but no one cares.
Yep. It's not like they're not being outspoken. They definitely are.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like you said, no one gives a shit.
Yes.
They're just used to getting their way. And they're used to...
The colonizers.
Yeah. I'm saying the white folk. I can say that because they're more than likely usually white. They push and push their agendas and stuff like that. So
yeah, and then I think right now documentaries are doing a really good job of showcasing the problems that are going on with the Indigenous peoples at the moment. Going back to my friend's boyfriend, his name is Marvin.
Yeah.
He, going back to what he was saying, was that weirdly enough, in the 90s was a lot of good representation in movies, specifically there were Canadian movies.
Okay.
And again, this is all based on his
opinion
and stuff that he's seen. Smoke Signals is one of the top movies that I've never seen it, but I've heard it's great. I've heard many things about it, and a lot of Indigenous friends like to make memes or like references to it. I also found a list of a bunch of movies that are good. Or good representations of, like, Indigenous peoples. There's this movie called Rhymes for Young Ghouls. The synopsis is in 1976, in the Red Crow, can't pronounce this, I'm going to butcher it, and I apologize, Mi'kmaq Reservation. By government decree, every quote-unquote Indian child under the age of 16 must attend a residential school in the Kingdom of the Crow. That means imprisonment. Essentially, it's like, you know, recalling the Indian schools back then. Pretty much just taking away their culture at a young age so they don't grow up with it. And this is from award-winning filmmaker Jeff Barnaby, his first feature film. And he was born on the Mi'kmaq Reservation in Quebec. And, you know, so these movies are being made by actual Indigenous peoples. Again, they're not given the budget. They're not given the platform to actually show. And these are actually very good. Let's see. This list is from Flare. It's called Must See Indigenous Movies and TV Shows That Are Streaming Now. And it was made in June 21st, 2019. And I'm only going to go through a few of them. I'm not going to go through all of them. But just, you know, stuff that, you know, if you guys want to actually, you know, expose yourself to this stuff, definitely check it out. This one's from the CBC. It's called Bitey and Bitey. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's puppets. So it's four brothers and their Cree-speaking puppets. Marcel, Baptiste, Michael, and the Chief. It shows a silly, joyful side of Indigenous life. So this documentary about four brothers and their fun-loving Indigenous puppets will remind you of The Muppets or Sesame Street. They showcase the happy points of Indigenous life, which they note often gets overlooked. You'll be laughing and learning about the beauty of the Cree language, and these three brothers don't want to see it get lost. You know, because we spoke about it, I think, in a previous episode, how a lot of these movies about people of color are about POC suffering, especially Native Americans or Indigenous peoples. And so, you know, this one would be fun. You know, they're fun-loving peoples, so might as well see it. And I haven't read a lot of books that have good representation of Indigenous peoples, but there is one author who is really popular in terms of, like, actually he's, like, well known, and also a lot of his books are really popular and they bring a lot of attention to Indigenous issues and stuff like that. So his name is Sherman Alexie, and he made notable books such as The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian, which is one of the most contested and banned books in American schools, because it talks about, you know, kind of drug abuse, domestic abuse, you know, just kind of the struggles of the bad things that can happen in a poor or an impoverished Indian reservation, and how this boy who wants to be a cartoonist deals with his identity of, you know, being an Indian, or excuse me, an Indigenous person, but also trying to fit in a white dominated school. And he also made Smoke Signals, which was turned into the movie. The problem with Sherman Alexie, though, even though he did have a really good run of making important books, I will say that he is not the greatest person. He has some sexual assault allegations against him. And when I was doing my research, it's not great. And after reading this, I read his other book, Indian Killer, which is one of his earlier ones from the 90s. And that one's about in Seattle, because he's from Seattle. And it's about this serial killer going around scalping and killing white people. And so a lot of people think it's an Indigenous person. And then it causes kind of like almost like a race war in Seattle.
Huh.
I stopped reading it. Literally, this makes a whole lot of sense knowing his sexual assault allegation things. I literally read a part in there that kind of glossed over sexual assault, and I stopped reading it. I was like, I don't want to read this anymore, because I'm just like, And I think it's very telling. That in mind, I'm sure he has, you know, again, I have no way of telling this because I am not an Indigenous person, but, you know, he has been noted to actually have, you know, accurate and positive representations of Indigenous lives in America specifically, in Seattle, America specifically.
There's a lot. Mm-hmm. I was looking while Eva was talking. Yeah. Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
We stan him. Mm-hmm. One of his, like, earlier movies, it's on a list from High Country News. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They have, like, top five films of to indigenize your watch at home movie list. So just a couple of movies that you should watch to culture yourself a little bit more. It's Boy by Taika Waititi. Mm-hmm. And he made it like in 2010, so it's 10 years ago. And yeah, no, because he's indigenous. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Of New Zealand. He's a Kiwi.
Yeah, Maori.
Yes. I was like, I don't know how to pronounce the term. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Eva, for knowing. But yeah, it's the titular character is a young
Maori
kid on the east coast of New Zealand in the 80s, whose world of awkward crushes and ice pops is turned upside down when the father he never knew, portrayed by Waititi himself, comes home. So it's just like, you know, nice like coming of age movie. Mm-hmm. Kind of similar to Jojo Rabbit, but not necessarily, obviously, not the Hitler sense.
Yeah.
And then they mentioned Rhymes of Young Ghouls as well. Mm-hmm. They mentioned Miko, mm-hmm, by Sterling Harjo. Okay. H-A-R-J-O.
Okay.
And their Seminole Muskogee?
I've heard it pronounced different ways. We'll just call it Muskogee.
Okay.
For now. Again, it could be totally wrong.
I don't want to insult you. Please don't hate me.
We're doing our best.
Yes. So that one is, this underlying historical tension is at work in Miko. It's talking about the
diaspora.
Diaspora.
Do you know what diaspora is?
No, what is that?
So diaspora, a lot of people, I've heard it more in the context of the African diaspora, which means people taken away from their culture, essentially. Like, taken away from the homeland, almost, kind of. So, like, the African American diaspora is like they're wiped away from there and taken away from their culture.
Okay.
Yeah, so the indigenous diaspora, yeah.
Yeah, it's talking about the Oklahoma natives in specific. Mm-hmm. So it's talking about their main character in the streets of Tulsa after serving a 19-year prison sentence. So it's him adjusting to his post-prison life. And then there's Lorena, Light-Footed Woman. It's from, it's a 2019 movie, so it's a recent movie. This one is not a Native American movie. This is more for the Latinx folk out there, specifically the Mexican region. It's about a woman named Lorena. Mm-hmm. And she's from the Chihuahua region of Mexico. And then she's an indigenous woman and it honors her legacy.
Okay.
She runs miles upon miles in her traditional skirts and sandals.
It's a short documentary. I've heard of this. And I've seen a picture of her. Baggio has put her on. Like
she runs.
Yeah, I've seen her. Yeah.
She runs in this.
Yeah.
Queen. Mm-hmm. A woman. What a woman.
Yes. Good for her.
Yeah, no, there's plenty of, not plenty, there are some. There's one that, like, I had to watch for a class that was about leadership, mm-hmm, and it made me cry. This movie's really well done. I haven't heard anything bad about this movie. If it is problematic, somebody please tell me, mm-hmm, and then I will stop recommending it to people.
Yeah.
But it's Whale Rider. Mm. It's a New Zealand movie. It's about, I don't know if it is about, though. Maori.
Yes. New Zealand is Maori people. Okay. So I'm going to assume if it is in New Zealand, then I'm going to say yes.
Yes. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
It's specifically about like how, if you know about New Zealand, they have their, what is it called? Not the dance that they do. They have that specific,
is it the poi? No.
It's,
describe it to me.
They like do these and then,
oh, the haka.
Haka. There we go.
Yes.
The haka. And in the movie, women are not allowed to participate in the haka. Mm. It's only men. And
In this movie.
In the world of this movie.
Yes.
So the girl, she's like, no, I want to fucking do this.
Yeah.
Especially because like she is the daughter of like the chief, basically. Mm-hmm. So she's like, come on, like, Mm-hmm. I should be the one mm-hmm. who needs to know all this stuff because, like, it's my family line. Like,
yeah.
This is my job.
Yeah. Sort of. I want to preserve the culture.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. and even though she's the, like, because they don't have any other younger boys mm-hmm. in the family.
Yeah.
On her side, it's just her. So she learns how to do everything like that. And then they also have, like, a cultural myth with whales mm-hmm. and that whales bring, like, good and everything like that. And mm-hmm. then there's a myth with, like, riding the whale. Hmm. And she goes and rides a whale and things like that. It's just this whole thing. It's really, really pretty. Hmm. It's a beautiful movie. It makes me cry. But it's just inspirational because she does the haka. She does all the stuff and everything like that. I'm like, oh, what a woman. Mm-hmm. But if it is a problematic movie, somebody please tell me.
Yeah.
And I will stop saying it's a good movie.
That kind of reminds me, going back to the Dene people. So the Dene people are known for their, you've seen the blankets, the woven blankets, the cotton. Is it cotton? Is it? No, it's not cotton. It's like a wool. Mm-hmm. They're known for their wool, like, weaving. They're weaving. That's what it is. It's weaving. And I watched a documentary back in college about how, you know, there's all these women specifically, because it is kind of like a women taught practice.
Yeah.
Where, you know, of course, like most other indigenous practices, it was done, these weaving of blankets was done for important, you know, events in life.
Yeah.
And it was like an actual, it was a gift to, you know, how to do this. And now, you know, these people need to make money. And so they sell it to middlemen for dirt cheap. And then the middlemen make all the money because they sell it at those swap meets or
they sell whatever. It expensive. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And these people rarely ever see that money. Ugh. And it's really heartbreaking. But I think at the light at the end of this tunnel was that because they know that their culture is suffering, and especially since a lot of young people, you know, for multiple reasons, don't really want to connect with or can't really connect with their culture, even though this is traditionally a woman's work. Mm-hmm. A lot of men are starting and young men are starting to actually get into it. And so it was really cool to see that, you know, where, you know, even though traditions are important, it kind of has to change in order to survive. I think they're kind of realizing, oh, shoot, we can't just keep putting this on women.
Yeah.
You know, we have to let the men who want, these boys who want to do this, you know,
do it
because we're on our last legs.
Yeah, no.
This is it. Sure. Going back to movies, everyone knows Twilight. So I'm going to kind of talk about the whole thing around that. So the tribe that they use in the movie is the Quileute tribe. I think that's how you pronounce it, the Quileute tribe. The Quileute tribe is a real tribe.
Yeah.
That live there, like around Forks. And they actually used Quileute people and, you know, locations in the movie. They were not the main cast.
Yeah, no, but you had to prove, like,
except for Taylor Lautner.
Yeah, I was like, anybody who wasn't Taylor Lautner mm-hmm. Had to prove that they were Native American mm-hmm. to be a part of, which is quote unquote good. But
I will elaborate. So I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to shy away from it. Stephanie Meyer is a racist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure. She is a racist. And it shows in her books. And I have this article. So this article is called The Twilight Saga's Issue with Indigenous Culture. And it is by Shay Vassar. It's from Film Days. And so she essentially kind of puts Twilight to its basic form. So you have Bella, this essentially hot, desirable girl. Uh-huh. And she is caught in a love triangle between two people. There's Edward, this hot white man who is, you know, chaste and pure, and, you know, they never talk about religion, but he essentially is like, oh, I need to save my soul. He's a righteous man.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Which is weird because he's damned forever.
Yeah. But whatever. But essentially the reason why you're supposed to root for Edward is because he's this holy, you know, pure thing.
Yeah.
And Bella's like, oh my gosh, he will bring me to the right place, like waiting till marriage and also risking my life to have a baby. We're not going to go into that, but I have thoughts. And then on the other side is this hot indigenous man who is animalistic, yeah, quite literally, and also in the books, vulgar, sexual, and I don't know if passionate is the right word, aggressive. Aggressive is the word.
Okay.
And so I guess unpure. And then also going in, I'm going to go into a little bit of a hole here. And so Leah.
Yeah. You know,
the only werewolf.
Female.
The only female werewolf in the books. They don't really, I think the movies did this because they knew how shitty this was in the book. In the book, they talk about Leah, how she is the only female werewolf, and that is a weird thing. And they also mention how she does not have her period anymore, and she cannot have children. And so they actually say she is not even a woman. Who, and she's not a woman, she's not a person, then what is she?
First of all, a lot of issues, because a person is not a woman just because they can have a baby.
Child, yeah.
Yeah, you're not a woman just because you have a uterus. Mm-hmm. It's not. No. No.
Yeah.
No.
Birthing a child does not make you a woman.
No.
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 And also,
Stephanie Myers,
another layer, she's an indigenous woman. Indigenous woman, we talked about it in our true crime podcast. They're already seen as an invisible.
Yeah, and they get abused, mm-hmm, at a higher rate than, mm-hmm, anybody else. They get murdered at a higher rate, mm-hmm, than anybody else. How dare you, Stephanie Myers?
And also, what's his face? Is his name Seth? The leader, yes, of the pack? He is also an abuser, yes, and toxic, and he abuses what's her name?
Emily.
Oh yeah, your name. Yeah. He abuses Emily in a fit of rage. So what had happened, again, they don't go through this in the movie, but in the book, Seth and Leah were a thing, and, yes, then Seth imprinted on Emily, who is Leah's cousin.
Technically, not his fault.
Yeah, not his fault, I guess.
Yeah.
And so, knowing that imprinting is such a big deal, he just drops Leah and goes to Emily. Yeah, and then goes to Emily and says, I imprinted on you. We're going to be together forever. And she's just like, no, you were just a second ago dating my cousin, girl code. And in a fit of rage, he scratches her and pretty much deforms, yeah, her face. Again, we already talked about this. Domestic abuse is a problem in you know, reservations, you know, indigenous communities because of poverty and a bunch of other things. But just Stephanie Meyer including all of this in, and all, including all of these stereotypes in,
when you have a literal Confederate,
yeah,
and yeah, and then you just brush that off.
Yeah, oh my god,
you make Jasper seem like a saint. Yes, I get it. He obviously knows better now, but I'm, oh, like,
oh yeah.
Well, but you're telling me that, like, they're supposed to be the bad guys, the Native American, bruh. This is why I was always Team Jacob.
But then also, like,
also he wasn't as annoying as Edward.
No, yeah, and then also in the movie, and like again, the movies were trying to do right by, yeah, this horrible.
They saw.
Yeah, they saw through her bullshit. At least
acknowledged some of it.
Yeah, and so they actually wanted to do a blind casting of the Cullens, mm-hmm, because they're just like, it makes sense, these 100-year-old vampires, they look like regular, you know,
people.
But then Stephanie Meyer specifically said, no, they're supposed to be beautiful and otherworldly and
she best wanted people. Henry Cavill to play Edward.
Who's that?
Superman. The guy who, oh, plays Superman.
Oh.
That's what she wanted.
Like,
she wanted somebody who, like, Henry Cavill is a very attractive man. Mm-hmm. He is. That's why he plays fucking Superman. Like,
yeah.
He's a pretty face. Mm-hmm. He's a nice man to look at.
Yeah.
That's what she wanted, like, she wanted you to be like, well, damn.
She specifically said white people. She specifically said they are not people of color. She was saying people of color are not the epitome of beauty.
Excuse me.
And so
have, like, you seen Lupita Nyong'o?
I know. So it's so telling. And then also in, oh gosh, where I lost my place in this thing. But, oh, okay. As of 2010,
yeah,
Stephanie Meyer failed to financially compensate the Quileute Nation for referencing them Yeah, and even failed to ask their permission to use their culture as part of the series.
Oh my god.
And so, and then now, because a lot of fans are going there, and you're like, oh my gosh, like, look, we're in LaPush, and we're, like, where Jacob lives, and, you know, so cool. It's, again, it's ruining the, like, I'm sure these people don't know, you know, the people who are going there are just, like, they think it's just, oh, I'm going to see a cool set that of a movie that I enjoy. But it's ruining a lot of these people's, you know, livelihoods. Yeah. And they're actually trying to do a GoFundMe. I should probably look this up. Actually, can you, John? Yeah, Move to Higher Ground is like this campaign. The mission is to secure the future of the Quileute tribe by moving the at-risk community to a safe zone where their culture and heritage can continue to thrive for generations to come. Our vision is to see the Quileute people experience their rich and vibrant traditions in a safe community where they continue to pass on the teachings and bearings of their culture, the Quileute youth. So it's called Move to Higher Ground. Is there campaign. So if you guys want to donate, go for it. Because they're just trying to get to a safe place. They want to essentially move their reservation.
Yeah, so away not from,
yeah,
where everybody goes.
Yeah. It's just, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. The whole Twilight thing is a lot. You would think the movie tried, I think, barely. They did the very bare minimum where they're just like, let's actually hire actual Native American people.
Yeah.
For a majority of, if not all but one, a character, but, you know, it's just...
Taylor Lautner had us all fooled. I literally thought he was mixed with something. That man is white.
He's white!
He is white.
Oh my gosh, and then there's another movie, like, about him being, like, a criminal, parkour movie. Like, it's a parkour movie.
Yeah.
And he plays a Filipino person.
I'm very confused by him.
Yeah. Because
he's basically just white.
That's wild. At least Darren Criss is actually half Filipino, and so he, like, acknowledges it and actually plays Filipino people. But I would argue he does not look like your traditional Filipino would. No. And so he's very... You know, you're whitewashed, you know, white palette kind of Filipino. Be like it would be me. Yeah, I'm your white palette Filipino. Yeah.
Although she's not Filipino, but yeah.
Well, I mean, my great-grandma. Great.
What are you not, Eva? Jesus.
My great-grandma is from the Philippines, yes.
Oh, God. Sorry, she's mixed with everything. That's why I get confused.
But, again, I don't look Filipino. I mean, that's essentially it, the overall thing. You can, again, we gave you the, we will put it in the
show notes,
these lists, if you guys want to go and watch it for yourself. Or you can look it up. Literally just like really good, you know, accurate movies to watch if you want to know Indigenous people's lives. I'm going to list off some bad ones that I know off the top of my head. Lone Ranger.
Oh my god. Basically any fucking movie with Johnny Depp in it.
Yeah.
Him as a Native American. Just don't watch those. I don't care if you love Johnny Depp. Don't do it. Don't be dumb.
Oh god, just don't do it. And then also, let's see, Apocalypto.
Yes,
don't do it. No.
Don't do it. Baggio. Should have had Baggio in the
I know. That's why I wanted to bring him in.
Episode, him just talking about Apocalypto.
He would have yelled.
Yeah, he would have yelled. That would have been a whole episode of just Apocalypto.
Him yelling.
You want me to text him? Good.
No. No. But essentially, Apocalypto is about, well, they say it's Mayan? I think they say it's like a Mayan, you know, civilization, and it's a lot of, you know, sacrifice killing, and then at the end, Christopher Columbus arrives. It is extremely inaccurate.
Yeah.
So do not watch that. It's horrible. Baggio's TikTok, he goes through it. He talks about it. Dances with Wolves is your, and, you know, its predecessor, Avatar, because they're both the same exact movie, except one's in space. It's about a white man who is on the side of the colonists, essentially. Yeah. And then he gets stranded somewhere and then rescued by Indigenous peoples. And he falls in love with a white woman who happens to be in this tribe, and she is their quote unquote princess. You can see how already.
Yeah.
And he becomes part of the tribe, and this tribe is going to be attacked by the colonists, and he's just like, no, this is wrong. And it's almost
a white savior movie. Yeah.
Pretty much The Last Samurai in America. Like,
yeah.
You've seen this often in media. You could also say Avatar is a really bad example of how, even though they're not real,
yes,
you can totally see the influence.
Oh, for sure.
The stereotypes, for sure.
Personally, for me, this is like unpopular opinion. Mm. I don't like Pocahontas.
Mm.
That's just like, you can watch the movie and that's fine. That's whatever. I just don't, because like, it's a real person. Pocahontas was a real person, and Disney really Disney-fied it and totally told a really false narrative.
Yeah.
And made John Smith seem like a good person. Which, and I'm like,
he was not. Yeah.
No, he raped a 14-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
And no. No.
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Yeah.
No.
Pocahontas' life was not good.
Yeah. I was like, no, she died.
Her real name was not Pocahontas.
God. I was like, no, I don't stand.
And they fucking named her Rebecca. Who? Sorry to all the Rebeccas out there, but like, whoever named you Rebecca, sorry. That's not it. You can name anyone anything and you chose even Rebecca.
Like, we can go through like the Disney movies, because Disney has done a really bad job in the past and representing indigenous folk.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Pan.
Yeah. What makes the red man red?
Oh, God. I love that movie, but like, man, no.
And then literally deliberately making Tiger Lily also very weird and kind of, you know, pedophile-y. Like, this underage girl is kind of, you know, a siren, attractive, gorgeous. And that's another stereotype for a lot of, like, women of color, specifically brown women, where, you know, doesn't matter the age, they're always supposed to be, like, hot, beautiful, attractive temptresses.
Yeah.
And also, she is not really red. Yeah, she's brown.
She's brown. But it's because the men. Why are the men red? And it's because of the women. It's because the women make you so hot pretty. And bothered.
Yeah.
Because then Peter Pan turns red for 2 seconds because he's turned on by Tiger Lily.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, broski.
That ain't cool.
No. Inappropriate.
Yeah.
And also incorrect.
Disney. And then
shame.
Has there been any, if we're going in order, is there any other, I mean, ooh, I thought this was a fun movie. I really like this movie. Again, comment if this is not an accurate portrayal of it, because I don't know. Spirit, that horse movie I showed you guys back when we were drunk over the summer last year. Oh my gosh, the indigenous people, they were the heroes. That looked like I would say that's probably a positive to my white knowledge. You know, that one's fun, but that's not Disney, that's DreamWorks.
Yeah. No, I like, even though we're jumping off the animated train, there are no indigenous folk in this movie, but I do like the speech in Adam's Family Values where Wednesday does the whole thing, and she's just like, my people were, because she has to play.
Yeah.
A native. She's playing. Is she playing Pocahontas? Who is she playing?
She's playing just an Indian girl.
Princess.
Well, Indian princess.
Yeah, and then she's just like, well, my people get murdered, and you take my land, and blah, blah, blah. Like, she basically tells the history that will happen.
Yeah.
And then she's like, that has happened. She goes, and I say, burn this village down. And I'm like, yes, bitch, take what's yours.
And this is why it's the best Thanksgiving movie.
Yes.
Around.
Yes, of course. Burn it down. Eat the rich. That's my mindset on everything. That's like a good, but it's not, there's no indigenous folk in there, but like that message in there, sprinkled in there, was good. That is accurate. You should at least inform children correctly that colonizers have really fucked over indigenous folk and push them out of what is rightfully theirs and still don't give a shit about it. And I'm like, no, it's not fair.
I'm taking a kind of a leap, sort of a connection of speeches done by, Wednesday Adams is not an indigenous woman, but Marlon Brando, if you guys didn't know, when he won the Oscar for it was The Godfather, right?
I think it's second one. Was it the second one or was it the first one?
Maybe the first one. I can double check.
Yeah.
It's one of the godfathers.
He was a godfather. and he already planned this.
Yes.
But he didn't want to speak, and I do a speech. So he,
didn't show up.
No, he didn't show up at all. No.
He sent her in his place.
Yeah, this woman. Oh shoot, what's her name? Her name is Sasheen Littlefeather, and also known as Marie Louise Cruz. She is Apache, which is in Arizona. I'm just gonna say. So she's an Apache activist, and essentially Marlon Brando is like, I think he hired her. Probably, I'm sure.
Either he hired her or he knows her.
Yeah,
and was like, go do this.
Yeah, and so he literally said, I'm not gonna even participate in this. Go up there and accept my award, and also just say whatever the heck you want to say. And so she essentially just said all the bullshit that was happening to her people and just indigenous peoples in America in total. And it was a really big deal, and a lot of people did not like that at the time. And Marlon Brando did not. I don't think he got his. They got let him keep the Academy Awards.
No. So what it was is I'm looking at him now.
Okay.
But when Sasheen Littlefeather, is that
right? I think that's Sasheen. Yeah.
Represented him at the ceremony. This is for the Godfather.
Mm-hmm.
She appeared in full Apache attire and stated that owing to the poor treatment of Native Americans in the film industry, Brando would not accept the award.
Ah, okay, I see.
So he didn't even take the Oscar.
Oh, okay. So he was just like, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
Even though the Godfather has literally nothing to do, I think that was actually a really good thing on his part. He was like, you know, my award and also all of this has nothing to do, like, on the surface with indigenous peoples in movies, but it's something that he thought was important. And I love that he did not participate actively.
Yeah.
He let an actual indigenous woman talk about it.
Oh, and a thing to note about that, when that happened, when she refused the award on his behalf, mm-hmm. or whatever, it occurred during the standoff at Wounded Knee when that was ongoing.
Ah, okay. That makes a lot of sense.
It began on February 27, 1973. Mm. And then it was when a group of Native Americans seized and occupied the town of Wounded Knee, South Dakota.
Hmm.
I guess that like helped their movement.
Yeah, nice.
Hell yeah.
Good for them. Or good for her. Good for them.
There's like, with the Oscars,
mm-hmm.
a couple of them have like spoken out in like regards to indigenous folk.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm like, if I can remember, it's been a while, but I'm pretty sure when Leo won his Oscar,
oh yeah,
he mentioned the indigenous folk that he worked with The Revenant, because that's part of the main plot of the movie. If mm-hmm. you haven't seen the movie, it's all about like him trying to save this the boy, mm-hmm. trying to get back to the boy who is indigenous and mm-hmm. everything like that. So he's just like, hey, I know I'm all about climate change and shit like that, yeah. but in this moment,
yeah.
I'm going to talk about indigenous folk.
Yeah.
Same with Alfonso Cuarón. I'm not Alfonso Cuarón. Fuck. Oh my God, his name. I can never pronounce it. It's the director of The Revenant. It's, oh my God, something.
Gonzalez.
Ego.
Something.
Something. Starts with an I. Well, like, it ends with an I.
Look it up, John. You're the producer.
Oh my God.
You said it.
No, Alfonso.
Oh, is that what it was? Is that
he did not pronounce that?
Oh yeah, I probably didn't pronounce it correctly. Alejandro.
See?
Gonzalez Iñárritu.
Show it to Emily.
He has like an indigenous last name.
Show it to me.
I actually don't know his last name.
Oh no, I don't. Yeah. So Alejandro Gonzalez Iñárritu. I don't know.
I think he's like of like in. Indigenous yeah. like descent where his last name comes from.
Okay.
Because I'm like, I cannot tell you anyone of yeah. Latin descent who has that last name.
It just says he's Mexican.
Yeah.
I mean, it could.
Well, you can be Mexican and be indigenous.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I'm just saying that's all it specifies.
Okay, because I was like, you can,
yeah.
you can be.
And I wasn't assuming.
I was like, hello, what's her name from Roma? She's yeah. literally oh, yeah. indigenous.
Mm-hmm.
Big deal. What? Hello. But
did she win or
no,
was she
was
just
nominated?
Okay.
She did not
That's
win.
Still a big deal.
It's a very big deal. Taika Waititi, when he won, was mm-hmm. a very big deal because he's an indigenous man.
Yeah.
It's a very big deal. There's always the same actor they always cast as a Native American.
Yeah.
Who is in Hell or High Water, who's mm-hmm. in a whole bunch of things.
Yeah.
You know the one I'm talking about. When you see his face, you'd be like, ah, yes, he's always.
Can you look up his name, John?
The guy from Hell or High Water.
The indigenous man.
I'm pretty sure he's also in Parks and Rec.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They do like, put him in everything. I think he's like, this sounds bad, but like he's the guy that they put because he is.
I mean, get your money.
Get your money.
Get your money. You know, it's hard out there for a player.
He's a great actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, he's phenomenal what he does.
No, I think that's him.
Oh, then he's not in Parks and Rec then. But he's in a lot of movies, the guy from Hell or High Water.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah. What's his name?
Gil Birmingham. He's from Comanche.
I think so. Yes.
Ancestry. Mm-hmm. He's in Twilight. He's
the dad.
He's the dad in Twilight. Mm. Not Bella's dad.
No,
Jacob's dad.
Jacob's dad, yeah.
Yeah, no. That's why I'm like, he literally plays like every...
What did you say? I'm hip with the kids.
I love that man. Oh, man. But he does play like pretty much any...
Any indeed. He's like the guy from... Yeah. Why can't we think of anybody's name? Never mind.
I was like the guy from What, Eva? Maybe.
The Japanese guy from, you know, Detective Pikachu... and
I was mostly don't
Pacific
show,
Rim, but no. No, not Pacific Rim 2? Oh, Godzilla, Inception.
Oh, yes, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he's your go-to Asian and man.
Watanabe.
Oh, yeah, Ken Watanabe. Duh, I knew that. You can take away my Asian card.
But he was in The Last Samurai, too.
Yeah, I know that. God.
Look, sometimes you just gotta go what gives you money, like we just said with Gil. You gotta go what gives you a paycheck, man.
Oh, he was also in Death Note, wasn't he? Was he not? Ken Watanabe?
Did they make a live-action Death Note?
Yeah, they did, with Nat Wolf.
No, they did. I don't think they did.
Oh, it's like, there's never been a live-action...
There is no Warren Bossing. So.
There's never been a live-action Avatar The Last Airbender.
Disgusting.
Yeah. But essentially, went on, you know, essentially...
Oh, we didn't even talk about sports.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
This is the only time we'll mention sports, because neither one of us are sports people.
I like softball and baseball.
Oh, that's because you're a gay woman.
I am a gay
But indigenous folk have been mascots.
Yeah.
Because people are racist.
Yeah.
For so long.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully now, the Washington...
Football team?
Yes. They've removed their racist term, thank God. Although Kansas City still has the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still working on that one. I don't know why they haven't followed suit. Because I'm like, no one else in the NFL has a name that has to do with any Native American anything.
Yeah.
Or any tribe whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Why can't you just listen?
Yeah.
And take it off?
Yeah.
You don't need it? You really don't need it.
I love when Native American people wear the t-shirts that are like the opposite.
Yeah, the reverse.
The reverse, so it's just like a white caricature. I think it's
hilarious.
It's so funny.
Because I'm like, that's literally what you're, and then white folk, they get very upset about it, and they're just like, that's super racist, that's so mean. And I'm like, bitch, that's literally what you're doing to them. What you're wearing is what that is to them. Like, that's how you feel is how they feel every single fucking time you wear it. Like, how many times do they have to tell you?
Yeah.
That's why you needed to change the name.
Yeah. And then you can go into Halloween costumes and like that whole thing.
Please do not wear somebody's culture as a Halloween costume.
It's still, you know, a form of blackface.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you're taking things that mean important stuff and just kind of making a costume out of it. I still have a hard time accepting fake luau kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like fake grass skirts and whatnot. For those of you who don't know, I did hula for like over 10 years.
Yeah.
And hula is sacred because it tells stories. It's how we tell our history and our lore. And it's not the same as a lot of indigenous people's outfits where each thing means something and is sacred.
Yeah.
There are some things in Hawaiian costumes that are sacred, but it's not as, there's not a lot of weight behind it. It's more just like, we just kind of wore what you know, made it. And the colors are more important than anything. But I don't know. I just don't like seeing it. It just makes me feel funny.
Yeah.
Seeing the plastic kind of stuff around, I was just like, oh, it's so fake. And it doesn't have the same feeling behind it. Because, you know, when you're making, you know, the lays, or you're actually, like, all these people taking the time to actually make these outfits from scratch. And that in itself is like a meditation.
Yeah.
And then you go and make all this very fabricated, cheap shit. And it's kind of insulting. That's just from the Hawaiian standpoint, from my thing. It makes me feel funny and I don't really like it. It's a bigger deal for a lot of indigenous peoples. Just because if you go to like a dance competition of theirs, all of their costumes and dress mean something. And a lot of, even though you hear, when you listen to the music and you watch them dance, you're, you know, from an American standpoint, there was a video of a man who was confronted by a white police officer. And this police officer was essentially trying to, I don't know if he was trying to arrest him. I think he was trying to arrest him. But this man in opposition was doing a dance in front of him. A lot of people were making fun of him because he was like, oh, this is kind of stupid. But everyone else who saw it, they're like, oh, he's like burning him. He's like dissing him.
Yeah.
He's just like, fuck you. You know, like... And it's the same thing with the haka.
Yeah.
You know, the haka is a form of respect to whoever you do it to. Historically, it was done before battle, kind of acknowledging your opponent and being like, hey. I love
watching videos of people
doing haka. Yeah.
It's so, like, if you don't know what it is, if you ever watch a video of haka, though, you might, like, think it's weird because their facial expressions have to be very intense. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they're very over... dramatic with their facial expressions.
Animated,
it's very, what they're doing is very, their body movements are very strong. Everything is very strong.
Exaggerated.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So the facial expressions are very exaggerated. The arm movements, the leg movements, everything.
The noises just, they make.
Yeah, it's just all one big, like, oh, it's just, it's, if you want to, go look up a video of haka. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
That's why you should watch the movie Whale Rider.
Yeah.
It's really cool because they're kids doing it, so it's interesting. But, like, you should watch full adults do it because it's beyond just, it's so good.
One of my favorite videos is of this couple. They're getting married. It was a Maori woman. She was marrying a white man.
Yeah.
And so her side of the... Oh, actually... Both sides of the family, all the men and some women too, they all surprised her and did a haka, like kind of accepting him into the family and accepting each other into the family. It makes me cry every time. Oh. So you see the entire family doing this haka and she's like sobbing, obviously, because she's just already. Like, oh my gosh. And then all of a sudden her husband, who's in on it, like responds back with his own haka and joins them. And then
it's a response.
Yeah.
You're communicating with your haka. It's really great.
And then she responds back and she's sobbing as she's doing the haka. Oh my God. It's my favorite video. It's so good. The haka is. You're acknowledging the other person's life and you're acknowledging their importance and you're accepting them into your life, whether that, you know, back in the day in battle or, you know, an important person. People do it at funerals.
Yep.
Like, literally, you're acknowledging.
It's very important to that culture, which is why, like, these things need to continue to be passed down and, like, they need to continue to be talked about and acknowledged and respected.
Yeah.
It's why these things aren't costume pieces. They're not jokes. It's part of their culture. Yeah. It's what makes them who they are. Yeah, no.
Yeah, and then I remember when I was in the theaters watching Moana, and you know how Maui does the haka periodically throughout the movie. I do remember it was actually kind of sad, especially at the end where Maui does that haka towards Tika.
Yeah.
People were laughing. I was so upset. I was like, why are you laughing? A lot of people, in the theater, a lot of people thought that Maui doing the haka was funny. And I was like, this isn't funny.
I was like, I think Dwayne The Rock Johnson does the haka as a Samoan, like, not mm-hmm. even, because it's not specific to New Zealand, it's just very big with them.
I think it originated in New Zealand, and yeah. then everyone else just adopted it afterwards.
Yeah. They just have their own version of
it. It's more of a New Zealand thing.
Yeah, so, like, he also knows it, because I know, doesn't he do it in Hobbs and Shaw?
He does, yes.
Because I was like, because mm-hmm. that's, like, he was doing, because yeah. it's like, this is my family.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah, no, because like, yeah. that's part of his culture. Like, mm-hmm. that's what. He's like, this is my shit.
Yeah.
This is who I am.
I loved Hobbs and Shaw. I thought that was a fun, you know, yeah. inclusion of Samoan people. It just looked like your casual, like, big family.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cartoonish.
Yeah.
But that whole movie is cartoonish. But I thought that was kind of fun.
Yeah, no. That's why, like, especially if you get to be a big name person, you can start being like, I want more people in it. Like, I want people who look like me and the stuff that I work in.
Yeah. yeah. I think it's really, really important for, especially people who have a big platform to acknowledge, you know, A, their roots and, you know, and also acknowledge the, even though it doesn't personally affect them, you know, it just like The Rock and, what's his name? He's from Game of Thrones.
My God, Jason Momoa.
They both went to Mauna Kea to join the protests, you know, because they're both of Polynesian descent.
Yeah.
The Rock is not Hawaiian.
No.
But he was just like, I know this is sacred and this is a big deal. So I'm going to stand in solidarity. And I think also Jason Momoa is also... I think he also might be Samoan.
Jason Momoa is Hawaiian.
Oh, never mind then.
He's Hawaiian.
So yeah, he's Hawaiian. Oh, and also Keanu Reeves is Hawaiian. Also Hawaiian.
Yeah.
Keanu is a Hawaiian name, if any of you did not know. Fun fact. And he also is very proud of his Hawaiian lineage. I think he's his mother.
Yeah.
Who is Hawaiian.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a lot of beauty in these, and it's not, we shouldn't be just focused. I mean, obviously we should pay attention to the problems that are going on in indigenous cultures so we can try to fix them. It's definitely a systematic thing. There's not a lot. I mean, we can do stuff on our own, but it doesn't really make much of a difference unless the government give a shit.
But what you can do mm-hmm. as a citizen and everything, even if you're not even able to vote, mm-hmm. but what you can do is pressure your local representatives mm-hmm. and pressure your senators and everything like that and push and continuously push and push mm-hmm. and push. Because if they're getting it, if they're only getting it from the natives, mm-hmm. they're never going to listen to them.
No.
But if they get it from their other constituents, and everybody else is also pressuring them, they're like, well, then maybe I've got to fucking listen.
It shouldn't be like that.
It should not be that way. But that is the way our, unfortunately, our political system works. Mm-hmm. So what we have to do is band together mm-hmm. and push.
Yes.
And push and continue to push until they fucking do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And stay informed. Like, honestly, I've said this in a previous episode about the stuff that was going on with the indigenous folk in Canada with their fishing.
Yeah.
And how some, the white folk,
yeah.
were getting upset that they weren't allowed to fish because
mm-hmm.
they're not allowed to fish all year while the indigenous folk are, because that is...
By their livelihood.
Their livelihood, and also by the, like, the treaty that they signed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what they're allowed to do, because they don't mass fish. Mm-hmm. They just fish for what they need.
Yeah.
So it doesn't ruin the ecosystem or anything like that. But the other fishermen are like, you're not letting them rest, blah, 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 blah. You're ruining everything, blah, 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 blah. So they were threatening the indigenous folk. So, like, I didn't know about that until I saw it on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like, yes, you can find news and stuff like that on Twitter, but you should also do more research on mm-hmm. it. Don't believe everything that you read on Twitter or on Facebook. Do your own research.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get a bigger and a better sense of what's going on.
Specifically from actual indigenous folk. Scholars.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to go back to Sherman Alexie, okay. even though he is problematic. In the book, the beginning of the book before I canceled it, he does talk about how there's a lot of scholars in universities and professors and stuff who are not of indigenous descent, but they are fascinated with it. And so they research it. That is fine. And they teach it. That is also fine, but because they are not living it, they're not experiencing it, they will not
understand.
They will not understand and they will not express it to you accurately. It is better to actually get your information from a person who has a lived experience with these people, and, you know, they'll give you the most accurate, you know, information.
Yeah. Like, I took, if you're still in college, taking an anthropology class is probably, like, the best thing you can do. Yes, most of the time they're taught by, like, white people because they think it's fascinating.
Yeah.
It is, because you're learning about other cultures. But you learn a lot about other cultures and the dynamics that other cultures have. And usually, you'll have a great teacher. I had a phenomenal teacher. Both my anthropology teachers, they were a couple. I had the husband first and then the wife later. But they loved what they did and they genuinely gave a shit about indigenous folk. And they would make us watch documentaries. And they're like, look, like, I can't speak to this. I'm going to have you watch this so you have a better sense of what's going on in the world. That's why, like, I know more about, like, the mascots and stuff and, like, with Native Americans and how this whole thing came to be, and, like, the only college team that can still use Native Americans as a mascot is the Florida State. But that's because they made a deal with the Seminoles and things like that. No one else is allowed to in the college level.
Yeah.
Obviously, NFL. Well, it's starting to disappear. Yeah. But, like, that was at the time. Yeah. This was back in, like, 2014. So, it's a long time ago. And that documentary was older, too. So, you know.
Yeah.
We're still making our ways through.
Yeah. But, little things.
Yeah.
But, you know, still do your research. Go out there. Make a change. Do what you can. And listen.
Yeah.
The best thing you can do is also listen. Don't speak for them.
Don't speak for them. Let them be the voice.
Yeah. And then, you know, do what you can to support them.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Again, if you guys, and then also I think this would be kind of a fun exercise for you if you guys are ever interested. I think there's actually like not a Google Maps, but there's like something similar to that where you can look up what tribe you are at. Yeah. Like, if you, like, you know, historically, where your location is, what tribe was there? What land was this? That's kind of fun.
Also depressing.
It is depressing, yeah. But, you know, you're just like, oh, okay. And then maybe you could do some research on who was there. I didn't, like, one time I was in San Diego and I went to the Natural History Museum and they were talking about the indigenous peoples of San Diego. I was like, I didn't even know. Kind of dumb. I was like, wait, of course there were. But, like, I didn't even know. But then also this is me with an Arizona mind, and I only know of the Arizona tribes. But, you know, kind of be familiar with your native peoples that are around you, what kind of reservations are around you, and what are their issues. Or if
there isn't.
Yeah.
Because they all got pushed to the West Coast. What used to be there. Because, like, me and John are both from Florida, but most of the cities in Florida are all Native American cities. And
do you guys even have reservations over there? Is that a thing? Or have you not?
They all hid in the Everglades. That's all I know. That's literally because when they, like, everybody was like
pushed away. Yeah.
They all hid in the Everglades. And then eventually they got them out, though, because there was no one left in Florida. Because it was the Seminoles who stayed. And then eventually I think they were kicked out. I don't think there's anyone there.
Well,
there might be a few because there's the Hard Rock.
Yeah.
Because you technically have to be on a reservation to have a casino. That's the only way, because if not, it's illegal, right? To have a casino?
In Florida, yeah. I'm not sure about other states.
Yeah, I was like, in Florida. I think it's also the same thing in Arizona
because the only casinos I know of are actually on indigenous land. Again, it's probably state by state.
Yeah, it depends. So look it up though. Look up what your state has. Every state has had native folk there.
Yeah.
Every state. You can argue, but trust me, they were there.
Yeah.
Because they were here first.
Yes. And so this holiday season, hopefully you're not having large gatherings. I'm just going to see my parents and my sisters, and that is it.
The Cherokee. Are from Florida.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm 116th Cherokee.
and you know, just keep in mind that the Thanksgiving myth that you were fed as a child is not real. The indigenous peoples were taken advantage of and abused. And you should acknowledge that, and you should do your part to make sure that they get the respect and the justice that they deserve.
Oh, no, there are reservations in Florida. There are four. There are four reservations in Florida. I had no idea. Orange County, there's a reservation in Orange County since fucking when?
And they could be small.
They're probably very small, knowing my state. Disgusting, but yes, no. Yeah. I just know there's a lot of Native American history in Florida. It's like when you do the tours in St. Augustine, they do talk about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no. The more you know.
More you know.
Yeah.
No. That's it.
Where can they find you, Eva?
Oh, I am on Instagram at BevaMart and Twitter at Eva_BevaMart. One day, I just got a full-time job, so I'm trying to find the time to draw more, but I'll try. Our collective social media is Pop and Stance on Instagram and Twitter, and you can find us on Facebook at Pop and Circumstance. Emily.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at The Emily Veron. Heck yeah, boy.
John, do you have anything to plug this week? Your OnlyFans?
Yes.
Got your juicy butt?
Bubble butt?
It's my Only Flans.
Only
Flans. I post pictures of Flan.
Flan?
Flan. Flan.
I was like, you said Flan for? I was about to break up with you.
The joke doesn't work if I pronounce it correctly. That's my excuse.
That's your excuse. I still don't care for it.
Well, go eat Flan and
spend some time with your family at a safe distance.
Mm-hmm.
Or virtually.
Yes. That's always nice.
Yep.
Eat and be merry.
Yes.
We're getting into the holiday season really, truly now.
Woo! I'm excited.
Me too. Christmas!
Let's put that Christmas tree up. Let's go.
It's Christmas.
Christmas coming.
All right, here we go. Nicely. Be safe. Keep your distance.
Wear a mask.
Wear a mask. And
yeah.
Spread merry cheer.
Merry cheer.
Goodbye.
Bye.